Firstly, we have Catherine Wilkes, who is the convener of the No Cashless Welfare Debit Card group, which is very prominent on Facebook with thousands of followers. The second is Amanda Smith. Amanda comes from the Say No 7 group based here in Melbourne. So, Amanda, would you like to kick off?
The Say No 7 was called the Say No 7 because a Liberal Party member decided to call us seven Say No rat bags one day. That's how we got our name. We were all seven women who decided to fight the card just over 6 years ago. For the Say No 7, we do policy analysis and research. We provide information to media, other writers, bloggers, and people regarding the card from a cardholder perspective and from a policy perspective.
Thank you. And Catherine, your turn.
Okay, so I started No Cashless Debit Card Australia 6 years ago. And yes, we were being heavily trolled by LNP at the time. And that's where I met Amanda and became part of the Say No 7 as well. And so we've teamed up and I've concentrated on the last 3 years when the card came to the region I was living in. I had to make a decision, were we online or whether we were on the ground? And we went on the ground and I assisted cardholders, trying to get them information, direct them to the senators and try and help them get off the card, which we got quite a few people off. We've done a lot of protests. I've spoken at four Senate inquiries. Oh, we've done petitions, media, television, the works. We're just not going to shut up no matter what they say. Because that's what they've tried to do in my region quite a lot, is shut me up, and it hasn't worked. I've been stalked and surveilled and trolled, and I'm not going to shut up.
If you could describe for us, Catherine, the impact on the day-to-day lives of these cards.
Okay, so for somebody who's initially, when they first get their card, they get quite shocked. It impacts them in across so many ways. So health-wise, it affects your mental health. It causes stress, leading to people going to their doctors, getting a mental health plan, being put on medications for depression, anxiety, and they recluse themselves anyway naturally once they've dealt with the failure of the cards in public and had to put up with, in the beginning up here, some very horrible judgmental comments from people standing behind them at checkouts. And then not being able to get into community events because the money's on the card and the kids can't take part, so that upsets kids. So parents withdraw to. In the Hinkler region, you can actually do online shopping with Coles. So I know quite a few families that don't go shopping anymore. They do the online stuff to save any embarrassment and any more shame that they've copped in the past. With the health issues, it can go further as well. We did have a young mum who was an at-risk pregnancy when she got her card, and even her doctors were trying to advise Indu to, no, don't do this, it's going to affect her pregnancy. And, of course, Indu staff laughed at her and said, oh, no, it's not going to cause you any problems. Well, it did. She ended up going to hospital with a preemie birth. And then she had the indignity with a hospital social worker trying to sort out a preemie baby and trying to activate her cashless debit card with the hospital social worker and the social worker from Indu. Right? And it's been shown in other regions that you get lower birth weights in pregnancy, higher mortality rates in utero, and some of the other physical health impacts. I've seen it with my friends that are on the card here. Right, one in particular, 33-year-old Jodie, she had a heart attack. She's been diagnosed with a condition called broken heart syndrome, which is caused by stress. It's a very real issue. So people are dealing with the mental stress, the physical stress, and they also have to deal with, in the community, because of the media ramp-up of welfare bludgers and stuff like that, there's always the problem when the card fails. All eyes are on you. Do you know what I mean? And that is very intimidating for a lot of people. But it also causes problems at school with the kids because when the kids can't participate or they can't get access to secondhand school uniforms and they can't go on excursions, right? We've had kids, one of the families I know, all of her kids were in counselling. And when you get 7-year-olds come home and say, are we poor because they're excluded? it has an effect on the whole family because rent failures, can't pay car loans. And I've watched, I've had people in my lounge room broken, in tears, shaking, that just don't know what to do. They couldn't pay their rent. They were being evicted. Three kids, not sure what to do. You know what I mean? It's breaking people. And this is the most inhumane policy, and they just will not listen or acknowledge any of the human impacts on the card at all.
Yeah, just quickly, I'd just like to say the evaluation report showed that there are more vulnerable children now in the trial regions than there were before the card rollouts. You know, we know from the Stronger Futures report, more neglect, more vulnerable children in basics cards region as well. But I'm saying the evaluation supports the question that children are being impacted.
Okay, with the way that I've seen children impacted, being excluded from community events and putting parents in a position where, like, the children cannot partake and they have to stand there and watch other children partake, right, breaks the parent's heart. But it's also when the child's like, well, why can't I be involved? And you try and explain that to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-olds. They don't get it. It causes harm. Well, school uniforms. People can't access school uniforms. You know what I mean? The thing that I found, like, I had another family. Why should a 12-year-old boy be propping his mum up and trying to look after his younger siblings when the whole family's impacted and falling apart? And he's trying to keep it all together to keep his mum strong as well. I saw that. The barriers to housing, it's putting families in tents. And I'm not joking. We did a fund, like a donations run for a family that were living in a tent, and they were moving from place to place, and then they moved to another place and they just got all their stuff together and it was all in the tent, and the tent went up in flames and lost everything, you know. So the problem is with when people can't pay rents, they lose their housing, and the pressure on parents, but the impact on the kids, they know that they're being segregated. They know that they're being left out, and that's going to have a serious impact down the line. One of my other people that were on the card was concerned that because of the impact of not being able to partake at school and in daycare, right, well, she put it this way, how come my 2-year-old is going to be held back, right? How come my 5-year-old misses out? This is going to have serious long-term effects on their education when they can't be included. Their self-esteem, everything. This is, yeah, it's just a massive impact on the whole family.
We know from testimony from cardholders themselves that in schools, when you're using the Indu card, they're actually using a separate FTOS terminal to process the Indu transactions.
Okay.
We know that TAFE students and university students are also impacted, unable to buy graduation photos and gowns. Anything secondhand is impacted as a result. Photographs, end of school photographs. These are all the impacts on children as well. And more frustration for parents.
Okay, school sports day, you'd think every kid would be involved. Yep,
camps.
For sports day they will. But in Ceduna, for instance, after school sports day, they have a barbecue, they put on little soft drinks and everything for the kids, but the parents couldn't partake because they didn't have cash. So you're talking about, I had one parent having to drag a 5-year-old autistic child away along with other parents, right, because half that town is on the card. So those kids were all excluded from the end of school, you know, sports day events. That really hammers into a kid that you're different and you can't have what the other kids can have, even if it is only a fruit cup and a sausage sizzle. You know what I mean? That's damn right rude, and it's un-Australian as far as I'm concerned. I hear
it amplifies that there is a social aspect to the segregation. It's not just an economic apartheid. It's actually a social apartheid as well. And we use that word very specifically because it does mean to separate, to segregate. And people on cards are being segregated. This legislation is an act of segregation in practice, no matter what the government calls it. We call it socioeconomic apartheid in fora that we discuss this on, in casual relaxation. People trying to get people to understand what the word apartheid actually means in practice. They think South Africa, it's like that, but worse. You know, we have people, something I wanted to add is that we've had parents who have lost children, unable to buy a funerary urn Okay, because the card declined, having to request permission for a cash transfer for a funerary urn to bury her twins. You know, to be denied by a stranger from a corporation that you don't know a funerary urn. We have another woman, a christening gown, secondhand christening gown, to not be able to be the parent that you know you can be for your children because somebody else is pulling the strings on what you can do. It's absolutely devastating. You know, children go through every crisis their parents go through, plus their own crisis as well at school, in the playground, you know, so it's the double impact on children. I hope that answers the question. I just wanted to add what I said in chat, that Hinkler region is now number one in Queensland for homelessness.
Yeah.
It started as number three before the trials. So the impact, we've got mums in tents, we've got mums sleeping in caravans and on couches. One woman recently had a cesarean section while couch surfing because the card refused, you know, her rental situation was a private one as opposed to a leased one, and Ingie wouldn't release the money for her to pay cash rent.
Initially it was supposed to be to reduce social harms within the community, in regards to alcohol, drug and gambling issues. However, then it moved on to, we had Twiggy Forrest in the media on the ABC at one stage saying that it would stop men from being paedophiles, which really raised an outlaw, right? Then we had Anne Rustin saying that it's a literacy tool. however, all I see is bankruptcies, broken credit ratings and damaged rental histories and evictions. I don't call that a good literacy tool, right? Mm-hmm. Then it's supposed to encourage welfare recipients to get off welfare,
punishment.
Right? But it can't create any jobs except for those that, you know, get the contracts like impact employment agencies and stuff like that. Then it's good contracts for those people, but not for the average Joe that's out here trying to get a job. So basically I've heard from Kununurra, one of the staunchest supporters of one of the First Nations people, he was saying that basically it's to bring about total behavioural change.
The justifications in the legislation is to reduce social harms and reduce the amount of money being spent, welfare money they call it, being spent on alcohol and drugs. Every evaluation to date has shown that that's not happened. In fact, the minuscule amounts, 85.4% of people have had no positive impact after 6 years. The very limited amount of change that has happened has been attributed to alcohol bans and other forms of suppression of alcohol purchases in communities, and even communities themselves are saying that. It's noteworthy to say that Ceduna Drug and Alcohol Centre have also come out and said the card hasn't worked to solve any of the problems that they had. So it's not just us saying these things, it's the government's own evaluation. But we have been, you know, we've been called pedophile supporters, we've been called crime supporters. People have to understand that people who have jobs, people in paid employment, are on the card right now. This is not something that only impacts Aboriginal people. They make up 40% of people on cashless debit cards right now. It doesn't just affect single mums, who do make up a larger proportion of people on the cards. It affects everybody across the board. We have a working mother who gets $15 a fortnight, who is on the card, a full-time working mother, you know, who is on the card. So this card is a blanket approach. There is no assessment of your condition done. All right, so when they say a justification like financial tools, if somebody is given like $40 a day to live on, they're, even the financial experts have said that amount of income is not enough to run a budget. It's not enough to create a budget, let alone to plan and to save or to do anything else. There's this kind of thinking is an ideological perspective, and it's a neoliberal ideological perspective, and as many people know, a religious perspective on poverty, a particular religious perspective. The last formal notification we received in Parliament was that the card is costing $12,000 per person to initiate. That is a cumulative total cost of the announced spending. It is not a yearly sum. The yearly sum works out to around, we assume, $900 to $1,000 per participant. But going by the last Senate estimates, this year, 19 and 20 alone, it cost over $6,500 per participant. We do have all the data and the estimates figures, but those three sums that the senators admitted to in Senate estimates are not evidence of the cumulative cost of that year's spending on CDC, only the contractual obligations that department were required to provide. All spending charges and costs of the CDC are now not for publication. The government has made it secret. Regarding Andrew Forrest, Andrew Forrest is a multi-billionaire. He doesn't need our money, and it's never been about money for Andrew Forrest. It has been about control. And when you see that he has a senator, a former employee of Mindaroo, is now sitting in the Senate, you understand what I mean by about power and control. I have met at a Senate hearing, Senator O'Sullivan, and he has and is entitled to his view as any member of Parliament is. But to have somebody from Andrew Forrest's own network sitting in the Senate and having him and Mindaroo continue to push, say, for people like Jacinta Price to be entering into federal politics is a great concern, because this is where the power and the power play and control of private corporate interest over government policies comes into play. And that's our biggest concern. He doesn't need the money. He does need the power and control over our government, which Mindaroo, being Australia's very own little Serco at the moment, especially out west, it is a problem for us, and we find that a significant problem. But Andrew himself and the Liberal Party are not shareholders in Indu. I have to say this out loud. I have the list. I know who the shareholders are. And if you are a member of ACOBA, which is the Customer-Owned Banking Association in Australia, then you are very likely a shareholder and participant owner of Indu Limited.
We beat the card the first time round. They couldn't get it through the first time round, and then they moved the goalposts and made it a trial and reintroduced the legislation, and they got it through only because of an independent called Tim Storer, who I went all the way to Canberra to meet, and then at the last minute he didn't want to see me because I knew he'd done a deal then. You know what I mean? And that's at that stage was 5,000 people already on the card. We've done pre-poll every state and federal election. We have people, volunteers out at pre-poll, to give out information and stuff like that. We'll be doing that again when the election comes.
This September, we're doing an action because we know now that the banks are going to be involved, and they're already part of a nearly two-year running group called the Technology Working Group. The government has been trying to privatise welfare payment systems and is using the banks to do that. Again, this TWG is being run by not as a government. So it doesn't have to report to government. It's not being run as a government program. It's being on the side, but it is being chaired by Senator O'Sullivan. So Mindaroo is a part of that group, as well as all the major banks. So I'm going to spill the beans. We are going to do some bank actions in September, and we're going to need everybody's help. We're going to get as many people as we can out the front of banks in September on a date we're not going to release just yet. And we are onboarding people now into our September volunteers group for that end. That is the sole purpose of this particular volunteers group, is to get people involved in this one day, as many people as we can across Australia, to raise awareness of the issue of the bank's involvement in Indu. And, given that it is income management, not just cashlessness, this is not just welfare in another form. This is management of your life through your income by a third party. People need to be aware of that, and that's what we're taking to the streets. It's one day in September. It's not a lot to ask. After 6 years of hauling ass, we need help to get this job done, to raise this awareness. And it's not a lot to us. We want to make as much hay as we can off that one particular day and raise the awareness in the general public, like we have with the Indu card. We have done a lot of work. We have watched the narrative, not just in Parliament change, but the narrative in the street change. Well, CPSU, I'd like to say thank you very much for all your support for the last 6 years. So we do have a lot of union support already, but it's small.
All the way along, we've had the support of state ALP, and all the way along, we've had the support of the Greens continuously, right? The Greens have been vehemently opposed to the card all the way through. We had to sort of like, in the beginning, ALP was supporting the trials, but then the day that I handed Bill Shorten the terms and conditions that were given to cardholders, when his policy advisor went through it, they backed out of supporting the trials, and then they started voting against the card since 2017. And now they've become very public against the card, and they've stepped up and said that they will scrap it if they're elected.
Independence, Andrew Wilkie has been vehemently opposed since the outset, yes, and has been a wonderful support. Helen Hayes has also spoken out in Parliament several times against the card. You know, and we've also had Senator Rachel Sewat and Senator Sue Lyons, who have actually been hands-on with cardholders on the ground non-stop since the beginning. That support has been invaluable, and the consistency of their messaging, their willingness to stand up in Parliament and call out the lies that are being told there, has been, you know, one of the things that has given us a lot of faith and hope that for change. ALP's bipartisanship was withdrawn only in 2017, but consistently along the way, we have watched their evolutionary process go, you know, and we've been a part of that informing process. There are no saints in politics. We're not naive and we're not stupid, but ALP's position on the card, we absolutely and thoroughly support. Just to smash this card, to end compulsory income management in Australia, is the goal of everyone working in our field. I mean, it is the goal, and they've just come out and said that's what they're going to do. In order to pass this election, One Nation do support the card, Danielle. Unfortunately, they have voted for it every single time. And the last debate, Pauline Hanson actually stood up and said that welfare recipients have no legal rights. Well, Jackie Lambie voted for the card initially, and she has a very strong tie and relationship to Andrew Forrest and Matthew O'Sullivan that we're not comfortable with. She voted against the bill this time because the NLP didn't provide all the things that they were supposed to provide along with the program when it rolled out, and she was able to see the correlations between the abandonment of people on cards in basics cards regions to what was happening again under Indue cards. So there's hope there. Trust, another question altogether, but there's hope there. If not for Centre Alliance, we would have no CDC in Australia today. Sterling Criff left the building on vote night rather than, yep, you know, rather than be seen to be supporting the Liberal vote. Rebecca Sharkey blocked amendments in the House of Representatives that would have seen the card be blocked there, and Sterling Griff voted with the NLP on the night. For the last two bills now, Tim Storer and Centre Alliance have both been the single vote deciding it. This program has never passed on merit, not once since 2015, not on evidence, not once since 2015. It has only ever passed on the basis of backroom deals, and that is really important to know. All the evidence supports us, supports the cardholders, which we see tonight. There are three different exemptions from the law that Indue have. They're an untouchable entity. Cardholders have no access to sue them, and very little, except for maladministration legislation in each state, to sue the government at all for any costs. So change will have to come from within the parliament. Definitely through a federal ICAC, the relationship between the National Party and this card and how this card was implemented and the nature of contracts and the financial situations will come out. And I'm very pleased to say that's exactly what Anthony Albanese has suggested will happen under a Labor government. So whether you like Labor or not, if you don't want this card, we're stuck with the 1-2 ALP Greens in our position. And from our perspective, ALP primary vote is the most important vote that we can do this election. We can have our idealistic what for wish for government any time after that, but to stop this policy, to get to the bottom of it, and to bring it out into the open like Robo Debt was bought, we're going to need to elect a new government. There's no other choice.